What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Usually we go around the AFC North. Everybody's knocked out now.
What has happened to the once fine, well-decorated AFC North?
Things went to hell in a handbasket.
Sad to see.
The Baltimore Ravens lost. Todd Monken decided again he didn't want to run the ball that much. Ken Wyman, he breaks it all down for us as we go around the AFC playoffs and we talk to the final team in the AFC North that is out. The Baltimore Ravens and Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Let's start with Monken first. Too much Monken, not enough Monken. Ken, go.
I have trouble criticizing him too much because they had over 400 yards of offense. And also, if not for a couple of turnovers, I do think Henry gets well over 20 carries. But, yeah, I think it's fair to talk about that Henry didn't run more, but I do think it was the game that led to that. And also, you know, the final drive when they're in the 2-minute drill, Henry's not going to be on the field for that. But no, I honestly do think this is more. Last year, I think it was more Monken lost the plot, and this year, honestly, it's the same old story. And I think we've talked about this before. I said if they were going to lose a game at some point in the playoffs, we're going to talk the next time we talk that the Ravens beat themselves, and that's what they did.
Who is getting more blame? Is it Mark Andrews or Lamar Jackson?
Mark Andrews. This is the Mark Andrews hat trick game, and people forget he had a key drop on an early drive in the, I think it was the first quarter, where first and 10 from the 30, he dropped a pass at the 20 or 22. It would have been at worst second and 2 from the 22. The very next play was the Lamar Jackson fumble. And if they have second and 2 at the 22, they're probably running a different play, and that doesn't transpire that way. So you have that, you have the fumble, which was atrocious, and then the drop at the end of the game. And quite frankly, guys, he's in the last year of his deal, and Isaiah Likely's heading into the last year of his deal, and they're probably going to want to pay Isaiah Likely, and the Ravens don't pay two guys at the same position usually. It would not shock me if Mark Andrews was traded this offseason.
So that's his last offensive play with the Baltimore Ravens is a drop and a two-point conversion?
I think it's possible.
Ooh. Lima, would you want Mark Andrews?
Yeah, he's pretty good. Is he not?
Not in the playoffs, he's not, but he's good in the regular season.
We got to crawl
playoffs,
before we walk.
Ken,
but you guys don't make the playoffs. So
okay, we did it last year, Ken.
Come on,
we did it last year, Ken.
What is this? Ken.
Listen, laugh.
If that game is played in a dome, does Baltimore think they're heading to the AFC Championship
Ooh.
Game?
You know, I just they play wherever they play.
I
and
asked
they
if it was in a dome.
They were going to find ways to lose that game. I just that's what they do. That this is the second offseason in a row where we're going to spend the whole offseason talking about what might have been. But this year's really weird because you can make the argument that they beat themselves in every single one of their losses, and so. Like, you don't get a trophy for saying, well, nobody beat us, we beat ourselves. But that's where the Ravens are right now. And I'm going to John Harbaugh and general manager Eric DaCosta have their interseason press conference today at 11. I don't know that we're going to get any answers because they don't really say a whole lot.
Ken, what answer could you have? That'd be so frustrating as a fan. You know, I'm sure Browns fans in 87 when, you know, Ernest Biner fumbles the football. Like, what do you say? Yeah. How do you say we're not going to do that next year? We're going to make sure nobody. You guys barely turned the ball over at all.
No, and Lamar didn't. Lamar had four picks the whole year, and then he has a pick and a fumble in the first half. And I'll tell you this: like there were, if you take away the Andrews drops or the atrocious PI call at the end of the first half, because remember that's 3rd and 5. They're kicking a field goal if that flag's not thrown. Instead, that's a touchdown. That's a 4-point difference. I think the Ravens still find a way to win the game, but you can't. It didn't. That both those things happened, and they found a way to lose the game.
Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. So If the game was played in an abandoned Kmart parking lot, would they still find a way to lose the game?
If it wasn't televised, then possibly. But I think the bright lights, something happens with them. They get all verklempt, to use an Italian word.
Wow. All right, Ken Wyman, 105. So, oh, real quick, do you think that the refs, do you think the refs give unfair treatment in a good way to Pat Mahomes?
I thought what Troy Aikman said during that broadcast was very interesting for a number of reasons. He's a quarterback, A. He lost his career because of concussions, B. So you'd think he'd be on the side of all that. But he perfectly called it out, saying, like, you can't slow down and bait a defender and then flop and get a call for it. I think it's bad, and I think it's something that needs to be looked at in the offseason.
Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, as the Ravens bid adieu to the 2024 season. We now go out to Buffalo, where the Bills are still alive in San Capaccio, WGR 550 in Baltimore. Sal, first, you feel you're playing the refs as well as the Chiefs coming up on Sunday?
Oh, I think there's an element of that, I think, in the back of everybody's head, right? I mean, we all seen it. I think Warren Sharp had an amazing stat yesterday. If you follow him on Twitter, he does a lot of this stuff with, you know, these kinds of inside numbers and how the Chiefs have basically played 11 playoff games and have been the least penalized team in all but one of them, 10-1, whereas actually in the regular season, a lot of times they're more penalized than the playoffs, that switches. But who knows? I think great quarterbacks get the benefit of the doubt and get calls. I think that happens with great players. I think I'm a Yankees fan. I think Derek Jeter gets, you know, balls and strikes. So, yeah, I think there's an element of that. But you know what? You can't let that creep in. You go out there and you play. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that with the players this week inside one Bills drive. And they're going to say, you can't leave it up to that. You just have to go out there and do your thing and make sure that, you know, that doesn't come into play.
Well, it's interesting because there are the mind games that coaches can play. I know as an Ohio State fan, Buckeyes have been complaining all year that there have been no holds called. And then they kind of complained about it in the lead up to the national championship game. And then they got it called. They got a few of them called. Is there a way, is there a method here that the Bills can stir up this as a national talking point going into Arrowhead that maybe they do have to get that call then?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Again, like, I think if you let the referees and calls get into your head, you're already lost. I think that's the way I would look at it, right? You go out there and you play your game. I just heard your Baltimore guest say the pass interference on Tre'Davious White. Yep, maybe it was the ticky-tack call. I will also tell you, we all saw Deion Dawkins get called for a holding penalty that clearly was not a holding penalty, and the Bills gained a big gain on that, and they wound up punting. So I just don't think that you can let that factor into how you think about the game.
What goes through a Bills fan's head at this juncture? It's one of the few fan bases that can kind of share some of the heartache of the Browns of the 80s. You know, four straight Super Bowls, that whole thing. What do Bills fans go through to try to protect their feelings? Do they try to protect their feelings at this time?
Sure. I think there's a defense mechanism for sure, right? I mean, it was four Super Bowls for a lot of us. But, you know, we're past that with generations now. We're old. But those of us went through it. And I did when I was younger, but I think even for this generation of Bills fan who went through 17 years of not even making the playoffs, and then over the last, you know, 7 out of 8 years making the playoffs, and the heartbreak over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, losing with 13 seconds, having the lead, losing last year, having critical plays down the stretch, I think there's such a defense mechanism of just kind of, you know, expecting the worst and knowing and not guarding against it. I know that, like, even for me, you know, broadcasting the games and things like that, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself and think about what does it look like after the game if they were to do this. So how does it go? I don't want to. We have to prepare for things like that, right? I'm on the sidelines. I'm thinking, what happens after the game if they win? But I don't want to get that far ahead because it's just you can't allow yourself to be disappointed, I guess.
Any takeaways though from that regular season game, or is that in November? And obviously, the Chiefs are a very, very different team come January.
I think there are some takeaways, but they're both very different guys. There were a lot of guys missing on both sides in that game. You know, the Bills didn't have Matt Milano at the time. They didn't have a right tackle, Spencer Brown. We know the Chiefs didn't have Isaiah Pacheco. They didn't have DeAndre Hopkins. There's a lot there. I think both teams have changed, but sure enough, look, this game, the biggest difference is this game's at Arrowhead. It's not at, you know, in Orchard Park at Highmark Stadium. And, you know, we know the Chiefs, just like the Bills are undefeated at home, the Chiefs are undefeated at home. And, you know, it's going to be tougher on offense, no doubt about it. I have looked at some of the numbers and thought, you know, that game, the Bills just could not run the ball. Well, they've become one of the best run teams in the NFL since then. And the Chiefs actually for some reason, I don't know what the reason might be, but they've actually, over the last month, have been a little leaky against the run. Maybe that's an area where the Bills, you know, could try to be a little bit different in this game. At the same time, you know, we see that the Chiefs offense has gotten some weapons back, and I'm sure they're going to be, they've been incorporating Xavier Worthy a little bit more. So definitely these two teams are a bit different since that meeting, which wasn't too long ago.
Scott Capaccio, WGR 550 in Buffalo. Do you feel the outdoors is a home field advantage for you as the Bills?
Sure, absolutely. I think being outdoors, listen, there's a new stadium going in across the street. I know you guys got a big thing going on there as well about a stadium, but mm-hmm. you know the Bills are building a new stadium. They have 1 year left at Highmark Stadium. And the building across the street is not going to be a dome. And a lot of people say, well, I can't believe you're not building a dome. It's Buffalo. But look, I mean, it's part of the culture of Western New York and Cleveland, I think, and a lot of these other places to play outdoors and have it part of the elements. And you do think it can be an advantage because when teams come in from different places, from domes, from the West, they think, oh my gosh, it's so cold, I want to get out of here. The other thing is, though, it is going to have a canopy, and 64% of the seats, I believe it, are going to be covered. They did a poll. Season ticket holders here said, we don't mind being cold. We just don't like being wet, right? So they're going to basically have that option. But I think on the field, the Bills also have Josh Allen, who seems to play better in those conditions, to be quite honest. Look, he wasn't prolific last week. He was still 77% or 73% throwing the football. Like, if there's any quarterback in the league that the elements just seem to not matter ever, it's Josh Allen. So as much as people say, imagine the offense they would have if it was in a dome. Well, they're not in a dome, and they scored over 30 points a game this year.
Scott Capaccio, WGR 550. The Bills get ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs later on this weekend in the AFC Championship game. We go to Kansas City and Alex Gold, 96.5, the Fan in Kansas City. Where, Alex, you guys have probably felt differently about this over the last few years because you're in the bubble that is Kansas City. Let me tell you as an outsider here, this feels like the first time. How long has Patrick Mahomes been in the league? 8 years? It feels like the first time in 8 years over this eight-year run that the Chiefs are truly villains outside of Kansas City. How does it feel to be the bad guy?
Yeah, nothing that I would have ever imagined would have happened with a team from Kansas City. That's for sure, guys. Great to be on with you again. Yeah, I mean, this is unique territory for Kansas City sports fans, period. Typically, Kansas City sports, the Royals go on a run and everybody's rooting for them. The Chiefs go on a run and everybody's rooting for them because it's a smaller market in these leagues. But we have definitely shifted to the complete opposite side. And I don't have to tell you guys about the conversation specifically after Saturday's game. I've never seen, frankly, even going back to the Patriots, maybe it's social media being more prevalent these days, more hate for one franchise based off of results of a game. And it really isn't just one game, right? It's people upset that this team has been winning for the last 7 years.
Does it feel like Kansas City plays by a different set of rules to the fans or to the refs?
I think a lot of people here recognize that, hey, they also have one of the special players in this league. The same way Tom Brady, the same way LeBron James will get some calls that are favorable. I think what people here are annoyed by is the folks that have kind of gone off the deep end with it, which is it's all rigged for the Chiefs, that somehow the NFL owners have decided that the second smallest media market in the country, in the NFL, has decided for them to be the team that is going to win every single year. It makes a lot of sense, you know, to not pick a team in L.A. or New York.
All right, obviously the three Super Bowl championships, all the AFC championship teams. Where is this Chiefs team if you were to rank them with all the others? How good are they compared to the teams that have already won the Super Bowl?
Well, let's just look at last year. I think defensively, no doubt it was a better football team a year ago. You know, they're starting to get going again with some guys coming back from injury the last week or so. Jalen Watts in the corner, Charles Omenihu the last month or so. So they're closing that gap, but I think there's no doubt last year's defense was better than this year's defensive team. But I also think this year's offense heading into the postseason is better, even if it is a defensive team the last 2 years. So if we're comparing over this entire run, there's definitely been better offensive teams. It's not a high-flying offense the way it was in the past. But I still think, you know, in terms of a balance, if I were to tell you a team's a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense, that's going to give you a chance to win a Super Bowl every year, and that's really where they're at again.
All right, Alex, we talk to a Chiefs fan every day on this show, Owen, and he is standing right next to me with a microphone. Owen, what are you worried about with this Chiefs team that I want to ask Alex?
Probably that they don't have enough receivers that are not Travis Kelce and DeAndre Hopkins.
Alex, your thoughts?
So, one, I would say this past week, there was only one receiver that had a pass catch, right? Had a catch that was Xavier Worthy. So I get the concern there based off of one game. But otherwise, I actually think it's the opposite. We've been talking here locally that this team, compared to especially the earlier season meeting, you've got Hollywood Brown available now. Xavier Worthy, much like Rashee Rice last year, the final half of the season, has really become their number one option outside of Travis Kelce. DeAndre Hopkins is the one guy who everybody can't really figure out here in town. You know, he's capable of making big-time catches, but they really haven't played him that much. He hasn't been on the field, and you know, he's healthy by all accounts. So that's the one mystery. But I actually disagree. I think if anything, that's why I said I think you know the offense is better than a year ago. I think if you guys go back and look where they were at heading into the postseason, MVS was one of their top targets. I think fans here feel way better about their pass catching options heading into the postseason. The biggest concern here still for a lot of people is that offensive line in the left tackle spot.
Alex, would a loss be better for Sports Talk Radio in Kansas City? Spice things up a little bit.
Wow.
No, not when it's a three-peat run. Otherwise, I would totally agree with you. It's because it's a three-peat. If it wasn't a three-peat run, then 1,000%.
Alex Gold, 96.5. Oh, real quick, is this Travis Kelce's last game at Arrowhead?
I think it is if they win it all. Yeah, I think they win it all. But if they win it all, I think you go, you get the three-peat. You've got all these off-the-field opportunities. I think it could be, absolutely. It's just, you know, the way he's playing, it's so hard, I think, for fans here to think that he could actually step away based off of what he just did last week, 117 yards. But, yeah, it's absolutely in the cards.
Alex Gold, 96.5, the Fan in Kansas City. Part of the great three that joined us for around the AFC playoffs. Ken Wyman, 105.7, the Fan in Baltimore. And Sal Capaccio, WGR 550 in Buffalo.